Good morning, and thank you for joining us for worship. From our family to yours, we wish you all that is good and safe this holiday season. Thanksgiving is behind us now, and this morning we'll be joining Christians across the pandemic globe as together we enter the season of Advent. Advent, the four Sundays that precede the great celebration of Christmas. As we work our way toward Bethlehem, the theme of the season is one of preparation and waiting. Now, if you are an adult, the weeks before Christmas have traditionally been 95% preparation, 3% waiting, and 2% eggnog. In non-pandemic seasons, we run around with a long to-do list. Christmas cards and Christmas cookies, shopping trips and road trips. There are Christmas concerts and work parties. Decorating the tree, tracing our roof lines with copious strings of Christmas lights. And the house, it must be clean to welcome visitors to our grand holiday celebrations. And the airwaves are filled with Christmas music. Happy holidays! It's the most wonderful time of the year. In 2020, the Advent calculus has changed a little bit. Preparation and waiting this year in lockdown will be different. There will be no office parties, no Christmas concerts, perhaps no family gatherings. We will worship online as we long for some sense of normalcy to return. In short, this year we'll spend 95% of our time waiting, 3% in preparation, and 2% of our time with spiked eggnog. It is good that we are here, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We are on our way to Bethlehem. This pandemic will change our Christmas experience, but nothing will stop the birth of the Christmas child, Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Now I'm going to light the candles. You come on in and get comfortable. Our opening hymn this morning is the Canticle of the Turning, and it comes to us from Baptist in California. They'll be singing for us as we go in to worship together. Let's go.
My soul cries out with a joyful shout that the God of my heart is great. And my spirit sings of the wondrous things that you bring to the ones who wait. You fix your sight on your servant's plight, and my weakness you did not spurn. So from east to west shall my name be blessed, could the world be about to turn. My heart shall sing of the day of pain that defies of the justice.
Past to the
Gathered in this holy place, we worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, in a season of darkness, we look to you and wait for the dawn of new light. When nights are long and hope is hard to come by, our heavy hearts yearn for you. Grace our worship, lift our spirits, comfort us in our weakness, that we may once again clap our hands, break forth in singing, and go out to share your shalom with a weary world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Michael Benway is up in Coopville. He's waiting to read for us. Now, the text that you're about to hear is part of the Old Testament prophecy foretelling of the prophet who was coming to prepare the way for the Messiah. Michael, over to you.
A voice cries out, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." The word of the Lord.
Thanks, Michael. Give our love to Barbara, Zane, Amber, and Hannah. Carl is going to sing for us now, and as he does so, I'm going to light the first candle in our Advent wreath. There are four candles in the Advent wreath to help us mark our time and our journey towards Christmas. Each week, we light one more candle, and when the final candle is lit, it means that Christmas Eve is close at hand, when 400 candles will be held high to mark the birth of our Lord Jesus. The first candle this morning is the prophet's candle.
Pray.
Following that beautiful music from Godspell, we move into a reading now from the third chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." John was the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region of the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan. And when John saw the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, John looked at them and said, "You brood of vipers, you snakes, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come, bear fruit worthy of repentance, for the axe is lying at the root of the tree, and every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into fire." The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We are on the road to Bethlehem, a journey towards the greatest joy in life, new life, the gift of a baby, the Christmas child, joy to the world. Born to you this day in the city of David is a Savior. Yes, we are on the road to Bethlehem. But every year our GPS seems to malfunction. Every year we end up making a stop, an unscheduled stop in a most peculiar place. Not at a holiday party, no. I have to tell you that this stop makes no sense. It makes no sense chronologically or geographically. We stop at the waters of the Jordan River. We stop in the wilderness east of Jericho. Jericho is 17 miles from Jerusalem. John is in the wilderness, some distance from Jericho. Now make no mistake about it. John is in the middle of nowhere, 25 miles at least from the nearest Starbucks. This Advent detour is not only off the beaten path, it is also out of sequence. We are headed to a baby shower in Bethlehem, and we detour to the River Jordan to bathe with a smelly, bug-eating prophet whose hands are still sticky from the wild honey sandwich that he had for lunch. We are headed to Christmas, to the event that ushered in the common era, the birth of Jesus, which marked the new beginning of the calendar when AD took over from BC. Our river stop takes place 30 years after Christmas. The sheep and most of the shepherds are dead by the time we meet John the Baptist at the River Jordan. Black Friday sales were already the rage, and Santa Claus had qualified for Social Security. The Christmas child, Jesus, is 30 years old when we begin the Advent journey towards Bethlehem. Chronologically, it does not make sense. And yet, every year, we stop at the Jordan on our way to Christmas. John the Baptist was the voice of God, calling out in the wilderness. John was simply a prophet. But do you remember what Jesus said about John? He said, "Of those born of a woman, there was none greater than John. A great man, but consider this for a moment. A recent study took the opinions of all the clergy in the United States, and 97% of them said that John was a giant, a hero of the faith, right up there with the Apostle Paul and Peter and Dennis Hansen and Billy Graham. But then the question was asked, would you want John as a member of your church? And 98% of the preachers said no. And then good Christian people were asked if they would like this bug-eating, strangely dressed prophet for a neighbor. And 99% of them said no. Now, of course, you probably figured it out by now. I'm the one who did the survey. Well, actually, I made it all up, but I am guessing that my results would reflect popular opinion. What do we do with John? What do we do with John, who, according to his cousin Jesus, was about as good as it gets? Well, tune in next week, and I will answer that question. No, just kidding. Next week, we'll be considering the shepherds who are watching their flocks in the hills above Bethlehem. John. What to do with John? This is what I'm going to say about John the Baptist. He has been misunderstood. We have somehow come to equate John with the hellfire and brimstone preachers, or some self-appointed preachers who turn their soapboxes over on street corners in American cities, pull out a megaphone, and tell us that we're all going to hell. But that was not John the Baptist. Nothing could have been further from the truth. You see, John and Jesus were cut out of the same cloth. When Jesus started his 3-year ministry of grace and peace and forgiveness and hope, his very first words were the same as John's: repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. John and Jesus were not just blood relatives. They were preachers of grace and hope. Now let me ask you, if you were to go to downtown Seattle — yes, I know that no one goes to downtown Seattle anymore, but just humor me for a moment. If you were in downtown Seattle and you could hear one of those soapbox religious nuts telling you that you were going to hell, would you go to listen? Of course you wouldn't. No. But that's exactly what's going on in this story this morning. Or was it? The text is clear. It says people were coming from Jerusalem and all over Judea and from the regions all around the Jordan. They were traveling long miles under the hot sun on dusty roads without McDonald's drive-thrus. Now, you should know that people will not sacrifice their time and their comfort and travel long distances to be insulted by some wild-haired preacher. But if there is hope, a glimmer of hope, a chance of redemption, an opportunity for healing, people will go to the ends of the earth or the middle of nowhere outside of Jericho. When my father was dying of pancreatic cancer at the age of 69, we left the farm fields of northern Illinois, the fields that had raised my father, and we traveled north to the Mayo Clinic. It was not too far to go. It gave us some hope to know that there were miracle workers at the Mayo Clinic. And at the Rochester Airport, when we were there, there was a private 737. It belonged to King Hussein of Jordan. He had come halfway around the world to be treated for cancer at the Mayo Clinic. You see, people who are desperate for hope will travel. And people without hope are usually unable to move at all. But no one in their right mind will travel to be reminded that they are hopeless and headed to the fires of hell. People who were desperate for hope, that's who came to hear John's words of hope. Are you following me so far? What did John do? He told the truth. And the people who came to see him, they knew the truth already. They understood their own despair. They understood that their bodies were diseased or disabled. They understood that their families were already on the Jerry Springer show. They were oppressed by the Romans. They were squeezed by politicians. No one cared about them. No one cared about their plight. And the religious people? The religious people had told them repeatedly that they were sinners, that they were punished by God, that they were unclean, that they were unworthy, that they were not welcome in the temple. They were getting the punishment they deserved, and it came from God. You get what you deserve. And if your life is total crap, then so are you. And one more thing. When you die, God is going to punish you then even more. But John told the people the truth. The way that they were living was not working, and they knew that. John told them to repent, which simply means to go in a new direction, a different direction, to try living differently. John told them to repent. He told them the truth, but John did not leave them there, despairing and judged and hopeless. No, this was not a word of judgment. It was a word of truth, followed by hope. Hope. That's right. John invited them to the party, a pool party, or at least a river party. Get out the bubbles and the rubber duckies and come, all of you. Don't you see? John preached a message full of hope. And it sounded like this. It's not too late. It's not too late for you. God is not done with you. God is not ashamed of you. God is not embarrassed by you. And God is not disappointed in you. So come down to the river. Come down to the river and start over. A new birth, a new beginning is yours. God will meet you, and God will touch you, and God will hold you, and God will love you. It is not too late. Don't you see? John and Jesus were cut from the same cloth. They were the masters of new beginnings. I don't condemn you. Now go and sin no more. And don't believe those obnoxious, self-righteous, religious people. They do not determine your worth, and they are not going to rain on my party. I invite you to the party. The wine room is open. The banquet hall is ready. Come to the wedding feast. Come frolic in the waters of baptism and then go home with a bounce in your step and live now like you've never lived before. Live like you've won the lottery because you have. Your sins, you see, are forgiven and you are set free. That was the message of John. And that was the message of Jesus. Now, I have maintained that we could all use a friend like John, someone who loves us enough to tell us the truth. The truth we probably already know, that our drinking is out of control, that we need to take better care of ourselves or better care of our families. You see, John is a friend that we all need, a friend who not only tells us the truth, but a friend who believes in us, a friend who will stand by us in thick and thin, a friend who inspires hope in us, a friend who does not care about religious rules or appearances. No, this friend cares about us. Every year, we take a little detour to the River Jordan. And there we find John the Baptist. John the Baptist who leapt in his mother's womb at the sound of Mary's voice. John who would work his way down the birth canal just a few months before Christmas. John the bug-eating prophet who prepared the way for our Savior Jesus Christ. You see, in some ways, it started with John. So maybe it is good and right that we should start at the river. So I invite you, my friends, repent. Repent and know that God is not done with you. And God is not done with me. And that is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Carl's going to sing for us at this time.
As people wait in darkness, in fear of endless night, send forth your word of comfort, a message of great light. The world stands proud before you, conflicted, hungry, poor. Come scatter pride and foolishness, and mend all souls with Savior love once more. story for all people, old story new today, a song of love and healing, a light to show the way. We come into your presence in hope and joy restored. With eager hearts we listen and gather round your word. We watch and wait your coming and pray for greater trust, to know that while we wait for you, Emmanuel, you watch and wait with us. A story for all people, old story new today, a song of love and healing, a light to show. This encounter, we'll go out and proclaim. We'll tell of your salvation and magnify your name. The servant words of Mary will swell the faithful soul, and you will bring your children home that day when all creation will. A song of love and healing, a light.
God of power and might, tear open the heavens and come quickly to this weary world. Hear our prayers for everyone in need. Loving God, as we prepare our hearts and homes in this Advent season and for your coming, let us never cease giving thanks for those who help, support, and serve us, and especially for your promise that, in you, we are always welcome and never alone. Let us receive this gift of hospitality and pay it forward to all we encounter. Come, Lord Jesus, your mercy is great. Jesus, you rode to your birth on a donkey, held in the silent safety of Mary's womb. Remind us that we are the mothers and fathers, innkeepers and census takers, preparing this world for your arrival. This Advent, help us be mindful of the world we are creating for you to enter into once again. Come, Lord Jesus, your mercy is great.
We pray for all those people who care for others in our community and around the world. Fill them with compassion and the power to respond with justice for those who are oppressed, welcome for those who are excluded, and relief for all those who suffer. Come, Lord Jesus, your mercy is great.
Jesus, infant of hope, make our souls leap at the sound of your name. Draw us into the hope of your coming among us. Help us see you in the midst of the burdens we carry, that we might trust in the promise of your life. Come, Lord Jesus, your mercy is great. We give thanks for the lives and witness of those who have died while waiting for justice, peace, or healing. For those whose names we know, and those known only to you. Let us keep awake for your coming, that we might recognize you in surprising and unexpected form, and welcome you in. Come, Lord Jesus, your mercy is great. Receive our prayers, O God, as we wait for you. Amen.
came down that we may have life. He came down that we may have life. He came down that we may have life. Hallelujah forevermore. He came down that we may have peace. He came down that we may have peace. He came down that we may have peace. Hallelujah forevermore. He came down that we may have joy. He came down that we may have joy. He came down that we may have joy. Hallelujah forevermore. He came down that we may have love. He came down that we may have love. He came down that we may have.